welcome to the Elevated Visibility Podcast, the podcast for female founders who are looking for more than just easy marketing tips and feel-good strategy and craving deep connection. I'm your host, Nina Gibson, holistic SEO expert and visibility enthusiast who is hell-bent on giving women a voice and a platform to use it. In this space, we chat all things SEO and marketing for your brand and business, but we also peel back the layers and the bullshit and dive deep into what it means to feel visible as business owners, women, moms, and more. If you're ready for holistic marketing strategy mixed in with some soulful storytelling, this podcast is for you. Welcome. Hello, hello. Welcome back to the Elevated Visibility Podcast. I am your host, Nina Gibson. I am really excited for today's episode. I have an amazing guest on today to talk about some of the more mindset components and personal development pieces of running a business. And I'm really, really excited to introduce her, Stacy Hagen. Stacy is a certified trauma-informed marketing and visibility coach for purpose-driven coaches, creatives, and holistic entrepreneurs. Serving clients who are introverts, highly sensitive, and empath entrepreneurs, Stacy guides and supports them through inner and outer work of truly getting visible in business so they can show up confidently, connect with those they are meant to serve, and do more of what they love. How amazing is that? I'm so, so honored and excited to have this conversation with Stacy. Stacy, welcome to the podcast. Okay, everyone. So you were just introduced to the amazing Stacy Hagen, and we're going to have an awesome conversation today. I'm personally really excited about this conversation because so much of what has sort of been a personal development journey for me has been an entrepreneurship journey. They've been sort of parallel, and I'm really excited to dig into that more. So Stacy, we intro'd you. You're here. Tell us a little bit about more about you and your journey and what you do.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me, Nina. I'm so happy to be here with you. So I am a certified and trauma-informed marketing and visibility coach. So a lot of what I help people with is putting themselves out there when they start a business or when they become an entrepreneur. And that includes a lot of different aspects from, I think you mentioned, like the personal development, the inner work that goes along with being able to put yourself out there and having the self-confidence and, you know, being able to be seen and heard and feel comfortable doing that, as well as the strategy behind it, right? So how are you going to market yourself? How are you going to get visible? What types of topics are you going to talk about? So it really is, you know, a mix of the inner and outer work that just comes naturally with being an entrepreneur.
I love that so much. It's amazing how many things come up when you're starting on your entrepreneurship journey. And in order to sort of move your business forward, at least this is what I have found, and to sort of level up, you really have to dig deep and unpack a lot of things that maybe you were kind of comfortable just sort of compartmentalizing. And I'm speaking for myself here because, there's some obvious ones like imposter syndrome and things like that, but being visible means being vulnerable, right? And so A lot of us have a hard time with that. So tell me a little bit about, like, from your perspective as a visibility coach, but also somebody who works from a trauma-informed space, like how you work through that with people. Like when you're talking, like for me, example, what would you say to somebody who's like, you know what, the vulnerability piece is really hard for me. Like what steps can I take to sort of work through that?
Yeah, that's such a great question. And I think this is something we don't think too much about before we take the leap to start a business. Like we just want to do what we want to do, whether it's coach or be a healer or creative entrepreneur. We don't think, oh, this is going to bring up all of my stuff from, you know, all periods of life, but especially childhood. And I think, you know, imposter syndrome and being afraid to be vulnerable is just so natural. So to anyone that's listening and feels that way, it's totally normal. Most people have that fear, right? So what I've found is super important to just being able to even take that step is being able to feel confident and comfortable within your own body and even creating that sense of safety within yourself and your own body. So you know, when you put yourself out there, when you're doing things that are scary, you're always kind of returning to that safe space. And you know, that you can handle whatever comes. And, you know, I'm making it sound easy, but often getting to that space requires doing some of the deeper inner work and excavating, okay, why is this making me so uncomfortable? What has happened in the past where I wasn't rewarded for being my true self, or I was even punished for it or judged for it? And going into those stories and almost, you know, rewriting a new narrative so that you can now show up in a space of authenticity, but also feeling comfortable doing so.
I love that so much. I love the idea of creating a safe space, like that you can come back to and ground yourself with, because I feel like that's really important. And sometimes, you know, we don't even realize, maybe it wasn't even something that was necessarily traumatic in the traditional sense. You know, maybe it was that third grade, like, episode where you were humiliated in front of your class. And like, it's bringing, you know, I think sometimes we forget that trauma is like a big bucket. And so I feel like sometimes we have things that come up like, oh my gosh, in high school, I was really mortified. And, you know, now I'm kind of like, eek, this is making me uncomfortable. So totally. Like, I feel like, yeah, that stuff comes up too. Like there's the big stuff, like the big trauma stuff. And then there are these, like, I don't know, I'm not, this isn't my space, but like micro trauma episodes, right? Yeah. Like that happen, that pop up, and it's like, ooh, like I think especially, and I shouldn't say this, maybe not especially for women, but I feel like for women, we have some added pressure about like how we look online and all of these other things. And you add in the motherhood element to it and the pressures and guilt around that. I feel like there's a lot that sort of gets brought up, even like you said, that, you know, we're not thinking about like, oh, I'm going to do, you know, become a coach. But then it's like, wait a second, I can't really serve people until I've dealt with all these other things.
Yeah. Yeah. That's such a good point. And I love what you bring up about trauma. And, you know, I've only been diving into this space for the past couple years. And of course, I'm not a therapist. I'm a trauma-informed coach. But what I've learned, you know, through my working through past trauma and helping clients, like it isn't always what they call the big T trauma. It's often what they call the little T trauma. So exactly like you said, like an incident in third grade, maybe, you know, being bullied or feeling judged when you spoke up for yourself. And often this is like happens in the younger years and just stays with us. So if you're thinking like, I don't have trauma, nothing big ever happened to me, there are these like micro traumas, you know, and even just the societal conditioning and pressure that women have. You know, we've been taught, you know, historically to, you know, be seen and not heard. We've often been judged more harshly than men and criticized. So, yeah, we can't, you know, unfortunately, we kind of carry that with us as a gender. And so we often have to work through these things, you know, to be able to do that. So
100%. It's so true. And I think that that's really important. You know, anything that happened to you that has an impact on how you're able to show up or advocate for yourself as a business owner, as a person, I think, you know, that's important. And it's okay to acknowledge and be like, hey, this thing happened and now it's showing up later on, even if it's not something, like you said, one of the big T's, you know, I think it's important to recognize that.
Totally. And I think along with recognizing it, we don't need to have shame about it, right? I mean, we're human, so everyone has had past experiences that were negative in some way. Like, it's just part of being human. So it's just about deciding, you know, who are we now? Who do we want to be now? How do we want to show up now? And are there things in our past that have, that are kind of holding us back in a way? Because even just becoming aware of that, like, oh, you know, this is from something that happened when I was 5, 8, 11. And that's why I'm feeling this way. Even that awareness can be helpful.
100%. I love it. So as somebody who's also in the visibility space, like we talked about in your intro, talk to me a little bit about being visible as sort of this introvert, empath, and like highly sensitive entrepreneur. Because I'm definitely an introvert, extrovert, but a very empath to a fault. It's crippling sometimes and highly sensitive. So I'd love to hear a little bit about how that has sort of impacted you as an entrepreneur and some of the ways that you've worked through that?
Yeah, thanks for asking that. Yeah, I think a lot of the marketing and visibility advice out there is given by extroverts for extroverts.
Mm-hmm, that's such a good point.
Yeah. And so as an introvert entrepreneur, you're like, I don't want to be, you know, dancing on video every day. Like, that's not what I'm good at, what I want to do. So we really need to take a different approach. And I think, again, there's no shame in being an introvert or highly sensitive. These are qualities that lead to you being really effective as a coach, healer, or any client-facing role. So it's important to recognize your strengths. So, and everyone has different strengths, but whether it's writing, whether you like having one-on-one conversations, you know, introverts are often deeper connectors. So we might hate small talk, but we might easily form a deep connection in a very short time. So knowing your strengths is a big part of it. And then secondly, especially for empaths and highly sensitives, it's really about boundaries, both like physical and energetic boundaries. So by that, I mean, you know, I manage the time I'm on video. I manage the time I'm talking to other people. I have days and buckets of time where I'm just like in my introvert world and days where, you know, I'm preparing to like go live and talk to other people. So that's part of it. And then the other part of it for me is really, you know, grounding myself and my body before I get online or before I get in front of other people. Because those of us who are like sensitive to the energy and emotions of others, it can be so easy to just be pulled out of your own space. So the more you can practice grounding and being in your own energy, the easier it becomes.
I love that. I've definitely noticed in group settings or masterminds I've been in or things like that, when you do pick up on the energies of other people really easily, and that can influence you and how you're showing up. And that's not something I really realized. I always could walk into a room and be like, okay, this is the vibe, this is that over there. But I never really realized how it influenced my own behavior until I started this entrepreneurship journey. And I realized, I was like, this is impacting how I'm showing up now for my business. So that's a really interesting observation, because it's something I've only recently realized. What are some tips for people? Like, you mentioned grounding yourself in your own energy. Talk to me a little bit about that, because I'm curious.
Yeah. And I think it's important to know, like, this is a practice. Like, you don't just like learn how to do it and you're done and you're good, right? Because we're always going to pick up on energy of others. And I think it has its advantages too, right? Like being able to walk into a room and read the energy, like that definitely is giving you an advantage in some way. Or being able to show up to a client call and immediately you know something's up. I mean, it can really be an advantage in that way. But of course, you also want to be able to not constantly be pulled out of your own energy by other people. So really, one thing I do before client calls, before, you know, going live, is I'll just sit and be really present with myself. Maybe I'll do a little meditation or maybe just deep breathing, anything that helps me get back into my body. I'll also just notice, like, okay, you know, am I feeling nervous about this? Where am I feeling tension in my body? If it's in my shoulders, I might just take a few deep breaths into that area. You know, calm myself, right? Learning to kind of talk to yourself and be able to, you know, practice basically self-soothing. So you're in, you know, as calm of a place as you can be before you show up. And then the other thing that's really helpful, because sometimes, you know, you will just get pulled into other people's energy. It happens. So if you notice it happening, like on a call or, you know, on a live or in a group, you know, one thing you can do when you notice it is just kind of, you know, first notice it and then come back to yourself. So I often will just pause and take a really big deep breath in and feel myself like, okay, I'm back. You know, I'm back in my own body. I'm back in my own energy. And that's something you can do. I mean, it takes a moment and you can do it anytime.
I love that. I'm going to take those tips, because it's definitely something because the people pleasing part of me will kick in. Yes. And you want to sort of like appease those different energies, right? And that's something that I've really had to be mindful of and be like, okay. And that comes back to boundaries and all of those types of things, because that's also been a big, you know, thing. Let's talk about boundaries, actually, because like that's been one of the biggest things I feel like, especially for, I don't know if like people pleasers sort of falls into the bucket of how you help people. But as somebody who, again, attuned to different energies, but also wants to make sure everybody is sort of happy and taken care of, boundary setting has been a big, big lesson, especially with like social media and Voxer, if you're utilizing that in your business, where yeah. people can really like get into your space. So talk to me a little bit about how you set boundaries in your own business and like what you talk to with your clients.
Yeah. And I think people pleasing shows up all the time. And like, unfortunately, I feel like that's one characteristic that most women have that men don't always, you know. It's again, one of those things we're conditioned to do, make other people happy, worry about others more than we worry about ourselves. And so a lot of that is conditioning. Some of it is a trauma response of fawning, right? Fawning is like people pleasing. So whether it's conditioning or trauma, it doesn't really matter. It just matters that, okay, this is showing up for me and I don't want it to show up in this way. So I think, again, like being aware is the first step. And then, you know, you mentioned boundaries, which is a big part of it. And yeah, Voxer is a great example, because anytime you offer like unlimited Voxer, you are opening the door to people Voxering you day and night. So I actually used to offer that, and I've since then put a lot of boundaries on it. So I offer it during business hours. I, you know, tell people to give me up to 48 hours to get back to them. I'm not immediately accessible for people. And I think you don't have to be always accessible for people as a coach or just because they're paying you, right? I mean, we're not emergency physicians, right? Mm-hmm. We're running a business. And so I think one of the best things you can do is think about, well, what do I need and how do I want to run my business? And maybe that's you want to have 24 hours to respond to people. Maybe that's you only want people to Voxer you from 9 a.m. to noon every day. Like, you get to set these parameters. And so it's just a good thing to ask yourself and then start putting it into your contracts and letting your clients know.
Mm. I think that that's what you just said there is you get to decide.
Yeah.
You as the business owner get to decide, not the other way around. And I think that that's, for me, coming from a really strong corporate background in my direct client management business, my accessibility and availability is what people loved about me. So, I mean, I remember having my first child and being like, should I bring my laptop? Like, do I need to bring my laptop? And just, you know, being, and I did, you know, I was like, I can answer some emails. And, you know, when you open yourself up to that, people will take advantage. And yes. For a long time, I was like, people are walking all over me. But then I'm like, but I'm letting them. I've set the expectation that I'm available 24/7. Yeah. So I think that when I was starting out in this new part of my business, I learned that very much the hard way in the beginning. And now I do the same. Like, if I do offer Voxer, I leave the first message is like, hey, you know, this is how Voxer is going to work. I'm available from, you know, Monday through Friday, mm-hmm. 24 hours to respond, etc. But it's hard to do that because I often think to myself, but they're paying me. So yes. I need to be available all of the time. And so that took a long time for me to unravel, because that's what was made me so successful before. But it doesn't have to, it's not 100, you know, of 24/7 availability. Like you said, we're not emergency responders or doctors here. But it, yeah, that was hard for me.
I think it's hard for a lot of people, especially when we're in the like kind of a service role. We have clients, we're serving them, and we are also givers and people pleasers. So it can feel super uncomfortable to go from that mentality to setting boundaries and saying, you know, this is how it is. But this is a business. You know, you don't have to be immediately accessible to clients, and most people don't expect that. And I think the other thing to remember, like, especially as coaches, you know, or any business owner who's kind of like modeling behavior, setting an example, like your clients may also have boundary issues, right? And you're showing them how to set and manage boundaries. So
I love that. I hadn't really thought about that on the flip side before, that by setting boundaries and expectations like accordingly, you're also, it's a benefit to your client, really. And also, I think from a business perspective, it's a really great way to remove sort of friction like that can, that happens when clients have an idea, because you haven't set boundaries, of what the expectation is. Yeah. And then when you try to set boundaries after the fact, that can oftentimes be like, the client's like, wait a second, you were available in the beginning and now you're trying to set boundaries. And that's, from a business perspective, you know, that can cause friction. And that client's like, well, I'm unhappy. And you're like, but I'm just setting boundaries. So learning how to do that, from the get-go, it's important.
Right. Yeah, from the get-go is great. And if you realize like, wow, I've never had boundaries before and now I need to set them with clients, you can still do it, but you might have, you might schedule like a conversation with your client or clients and just let them know that this is, you know, the way you're doing business going forward, and just have an open discussion about it.
Exactly. Open dialogue, transparency. Transparency is a big one for me.
Yeah.
Because I'm just like, this is, even when I'm marketing something, I just had a launch and I did the webinar and I told everyone at the beginning, I'm like, you all know what is coming, right? I was like, we're going to talk about my membership and these are some of the things you'll learn. If you want to stick around, great. If not, that's okay too. And people are so responsive to that transparency because they love it.
I think people are craving more of that transparency because, unfortunately, there's been so many like shady business practices where people act like they're being of service. And then, you know, you get on Zoom, you get on the phone, and you're just immediately being sold to. And it feels, I mean, I've had it happen to me. It feels very violating. So, you know, So what you're saying, like, you're providing value through a webinar and you're also telling them, hey, I'm also going to give you an opportunity to go deeper. Like, I am going to pitch you something at the end of this, but it's going to be of value. And I think that's that's the best way to do it.
Yeah. It took me a while to sort of step into that space of alignment of how do I want to actually show up and sell, because selling is hard. And traditional pain point marketing just didn't jive with me and my energy. And I was like, because you're still tricking people to an extent. And this is a controversial statement I'm making, I know, but that's how it feels to me. And like, I got a DM yesterday from somebody and they were like, hey, are you accepting one-on-one clients right now? And I was like, yeah, I actually am. I'm for Q1, you know, and I was like, what are you looking for? And then they immediately were like, hey, do you want to get into my, they were selling me something. And I was so pissed off.
Yes.
Because it was a trick, right? And to have me acknowledge their DM request, and it was a trick. And I was just like, you know what? I blocked them. And I was like, this is just not the way to do it. No. It's not the way to do it.
I know the exact DM you got because I've gotten a few of them. And I was like, what is this person fishing for? I bet if I tell them I'm accepting clients, they're going to pitch me on the, you know, how to get fully booked in a week or something, right? So yeah, it doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel good. And the thing is, like, we need to realize, like, okay, if something doesn't feel good to us, we shouldn't be also doing it to our people and our audience, right? Like, we don't have to be using those tactics.
Yeah, agreed. And I think that, but it's hard, especially, you know, I had to unlearn a lot of things that I learned in more traditional corporate marketing, because everything in corporate marketing is pain point. And, you know, as I spent more time online, just listening to some of these sales tactics, like, you know, just exploiting women's guilt over their own motherhood. And they're like, all of these things. And like, I was just like, whoa, you know, and for a while, I was like, can I even be on like on social media? But then when you find the right mentorship and you start learning that other people are also saying, hey, you don't have to do it this way. You can sell and run a business that's in alignment. And when I realized that, I was like, oh, okay, this is great. So yeah, I think it's a really important conversation.
I think it is too. And I think more and more people are having this conversation and are changing the way they do marketing, which is really, it's really inspiring to see, because it doesn't feel good. And like, you know, shame marketing may work, but it's working because you're manipulating someone's pain, as you said, and they're feeling so bad about themselves. They're like, okay, I'll get your thing if it makes me feel better. Why would we want to attract clients in that space in that way anyway, right? We're, you know, it's much more empowering to, you know, be able to show people what's possible, and we can do that without personally shaming them for anything.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. I think, you know, and you don't even realize sometimes some of the things that are kind of subtly shaming. And I sometimes still have to catch myself and really think, like, if I were to read this, would this make me feel like shit or not? And really, really sit with that and really be honest with myself, because I feel like there's subtle manipulations that we're taught as marketers, and you really have to sort of like peel back the layers on the onion and be like, okay, I guess. So one of the things, I was talking about this with somebody, and somebody who's not in the entrepreneurial space, but we were just talking, and they're like, but how are you going to make money? So I'd be curious, like, what your response to that question would be. Cause I was like, but I just launched my membership, and I enrolled 12 people, which, and everybody, you know, it was done exactly on my terms. So I feel like my objection to their objection was like, because it's an alignment, and I'm an energetic match for that, and I'm showing up the way I want, and people feed off of that. So I would just be curious, like, you probably would say something similar, but what would you say to somebody who's interested in like sort of doing it differently and acknowledging the sensitivity, the empath part of them, but is also like, what if I don't make money? What would you?
Yeah, that's so interesting. I mean, I think the what if I don't make money is going to come up with every new business owner. And anytime we launch anything, right? It's always like, what if this doesn't work? What if I don't make money? What if it fails? But regardless of that, I think the most powerful way you can show up as a business owner is being fully aligned, like you said, and really operating your business from a highly energetic state. Like, you will attract clients that are a match for your energy. And if you're going to be in this manipulative, pressuring, you know, shaming type of energy, you're going to attract clients that are at that energy, and it usually doesn't feel good. And the other thing I would say is, like, we need to question how we've been taught to market and do business, right? There are like certain big name people out there who have said, like, this is the way to market. This is the way to write a sales page. This is the way to sell. And it's time we question that. And I think one of the biggest things you can do is, if you're learning something and you start to feel, ooh, that feels gross, or that doesn't feel right, that's a sign that you should be questioning it. Right?
Yep.
And always remembering that there is another way to do that thing.
I love that. I mean, the body always knows, right?
Yeah.
Like, the body always knows, like, that gut. And I don't know if you're into human design at all, but yeah, I'm a sacral generator. And so, like, the body knows. It's either a hell yes or a hell no, or let me think about it. You know, it's just, and I think when we ignore those signs, our body, you know, even just that quick, like you don't even realize you're doing it sometimes until you start really tuning in. Mm-hmm. And that hesitation, you know, and the body knows. So I love that. I love that piece of advice, because I think if we follow it, it will not lead us astray. If we follow our gut and our instincts, it will lead us to where we're meant to be.
Yeah, I agree. It's so much of it is paying attention to your body, like you said, and then also trusting it. So I feel like so often we'll be like, ooh, that doesn't seem right, but this person is an expert making 6 or 7 figures a year. I should do what they say. You know, so often we like abandon ourselves in that way. But I think the more we can tune in and even explore, like, oh, why is this feeling this way? What's coming up for me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think there's definitely been many times where I haven't listened to my gut, and it always ends up the way you would expect it to, right? Just like you said. But I think that comes back to, especially for those of us who have had like the big T trauma, a lot of that comes back to that, right? Like, yes. The gut, and just being like, I can't trust myself. And also, you know, we break promises to ourselves. This is a much more, you know, and when we break promises to ourselves, we can't how can we trust ourselves? So there's so much just in that right there. We could do a whole series.
And I'm glad you brought that up, because I think sometimes the trauma or even conditioning can cause us not to trust our instincts because we've been betrayed in the past by someone or something. And so a lot of the work is kind of rebuilding that sense of self-trust. And I just feel like self-trust is like just this number one thing that the more you cultivate it in business and life, like the more free you will be. Like just imagine being able to trust yourself that you can handle anything or that you can make the right decision. And again, that's, you know, it's an ongoing thing, but if you can start that process now, I mean, it will only help you in your business.
Mm, I love that. Like it all coming back to that self-trust component, because it's so true. Because I think that's why so many of us are seeking that outside guidance from people, even though we know they're not necessarily aligned. That gut is like, this isn't right. But like you said, they're an expert and we don't trust ourselves to lead our businesses forward. So we're looking for that sort of external. And of course, having a third party that you trust or something like that is always important, I think, in entrepreneurship. But the problem comes up when we align ourselves with people who aren't in alignment with what our goals and values are. So I'm so glad you brought that up, because I feel like the self-trust is so, so important in business. And it also, when you have that, allows you to take risks outside of what the norm is or what people are saying you should be doing, and going and saying, you know what, I'm going to do it this way because this is what feels right. And I trust myself. So I love that you brought that up, because I feel like that's a trap you can easily fall into, is you're listening to all of these other voices instead of doing what you really feel like you should be doing. And then you end up, I don't want to use the word fail, but it ends up not working. And then you get into this cycle of, but it's not working, I'm just going to abandon it, when really you just need to shift over.
Yes. And follow you. That is such a key learning. I mean, I went through that period, you know, even though I'm, you know, talking about self-trust now, I went through a period of when I first started my business, I was hiring experts and just like, I don't want to say blindly doing what the experts say, right? Even though some things didn't feel quite right. And even though they, you know, even if they weren't like manipulative practices, some things aren't going to feel quite right to us. And that's a sign that maybe there's a different way for us. So like the self-trust thing can even help you figure out who you want to support you or who to hire, right? It's not like you have to do everything on your own, but the more you trust yourself, the more you can find those people that are aligned with you.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It all comes back down to that. You know, you are your own North Star, you know? And so I feel like that's, yeah, I love that. So I love this conversation. So tell me about how people can work with you, if you have anything new coming down the pipeline or what's going on with your business. I'd love for the listeners to know.
I'd love to connect with anyone listening to this who resonates. For social media, I am mostly on Instagram and I'm at create_coaching. My business is createcoachingconsulting.com. It's my website. I do have a group program for introverts, highly sensitives, and empaths on getting visible. And I run that about twice a year. So it will be early 2023 when I run it again. And I also work with clients one-on-one. So that's always an option too.
Amazing. I love it. I feel like this, working with you, and for anybody who resonates with this, I think you've heard me say it on the podcast. I said it earlier, the personal development and the entrepreneurship are so, they're interconnected. They are basically one and the same, at least for me. So I feel like if this is calling to you to be like, you know what, I really need to work through some things, I definitely connect with Stacey, and we'll put everything in the show notes so you guys can connect with her. So thank you so much for this amazing conversation, Stacey. This was so, so good.
Yeah. And thanks, I want to have you back.
Yeah, you're welcome. I want to have you back on. I feel like we need to do another part just about the self-trust. I feel like that could be a whole conversation in of itself.
Yeah, so I'd love to talk about that.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Elevated Visibility Podcast. If you loved it and you want to support the podcast, please share it with others, your family, friends, post about it on social media, or leave a rating and review. I would appreciate it so, so much. Catch all the latest from me. You can follow me on Instagram at ninagibson.co. Until next time.